Thank you, Ben. Appreciate that great message and song. This morning we're going to look at a father of faith. Now we see him here in Hebrews chapter 11. We see him mentioned, of course, it's from an Old Testament passage of Scripture. But today on this Father's Day, I want to look at Abraham. A man of faith, a man of great faith. You know, as we begin, let's not come by placing Abraham because of his greatness and his faith as being some kind of a superhuman. We oftentimes look at those great men of faith and say, oh, they were something different than us. They were of a different category. No, Abraham was a man. And as such, had the same fears and the same passions of other men. I'm reminded, when I think of that, remember when Paul and Barnabas were in Lystra, there in Acts chapter 16, in the 12th verse. There were those that, when they saw a miracle performed, they called Barnabas Jupiter, and they called Paul Mercurius, because he was the chief speaker. But they cried out, oh man, don't bow down to us. We are men of like passions as you. We're just here to preach to you about the living God. I think of, in James, we're told of Elijah. Elijah, the great prophet that God had. But he says Elijah was a man of subject to like passions as we are. So as I bring to you Abraham today, let's remember he was a man like as we are. One confronted with the choices in life that either meant to trust God completely or to go your own way. Abraham, you had that? Abraham chose the way of faith. Because he chose the way of faith, he was counted a man of righteousness. That's why in James it says Abraham believed God. He believed God, and because he believed God, it was imputed unto him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. What a marvelous thing to be given the righteousness of Christ. To be called a friend of God, we who are enemies of God, through our sin, yet because he believed God, because he, by faith, believed God, then he was, and he was made by God what he was. So let's consider that as we look at Abraham, and don't think of him as somebody, well, that was somebody great of the past, but not something that I could be. Just remember that he was a man of faith. He was a man that just believed what God said. So let's, as we look at that, and we look at the, you know, here in Hebrews chapter 11, the verses that we read, we see Abraham having a believing faith. It says, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, he obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. He sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city whose foundations and whose builder and maker is God. Abraham was a man of believing faith. You go back to Genesis chapter 12, and we have the account that's being referred to. Genesis chapter 12, and there in verse 1, it says, now the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, from thy father's house, into a land that I will show you. God gave a command. God gave a command to Abram. In the fourth verse of that 12th chapter, it says, so Abram departed, as the Lord had spoken to him, Lot with him. Abram was 75 years old, it says there in the fourth verse at Genesis 12, when he departed out of Haran. He took Sarah his wife and Lot his brother's son, all their substance that they had gathered, the souls that they had gotten in Haran, and they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. God gave a command. He gave a command to Abram that he would then call Abraham. He gave a command, I want you to pick up and leave. I want you to pick up and leave. Leave from your relatives. Leave from your father's house. And I want you to go to a place that I'm going to show you. So he went. He just followed the command that God gave. God had made a promise to him. God's promise to him was there in the second verse of, and we read it in Hebrews, but in the second verse of Genesis 12, he says, I will make of thee a great nation, and I'll bless thee, and I'll make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and I'll curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Why should Abraham follow? Put yourself in Abraham's place. If you're 75 years old today, you could put yourself in Abraham's place a little easier maybe than a young man today. But think about if you were 75 years old. You're already settled, and the Lord says, I want you to pick up and take your family and go. In the flesh, you could say, hey, I'm too old for this. I'm settled. You know, I've got my wife. I've got my family. I've got my herds. This wasn't just Abraham and Sarah and Lot that left. This was a man with his possessions. This was a man with his herds. This was a man with all those that were under his employ that cared for those. I mean, when he left out, it wasn't just three people that left. It was a big undertaking for him to leave. It'd been so easy to say, Lord, I appreciate what you're saying and your promise, but you better get somebody younger for this. It'd be easy for him to say that, wouldn't it? You can say, you know, the cattle might not be able to hold up under this, what you're wanting me to do. I think I'd better just stay home. What do we see with Abram? There is no record of any question. The only record is that he went. That's the record that we have in Genesis. It's the record that we have in Hebrews. He went. And he went and he didn't know where he was going. I mean, it wasn't just that, okay, let me go take a look at this. Let me go see where we're going, you know. But no, it says he went. There in the eighth verse of Hebrews 11 that we read, He went not knowing whether he went. But he went believing God. He went believing God. We saw there in this passage in Hebrews, we saw there in the ninth verse, it says he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob. Tabernacles. That's kind of a nice word, dwelling in tabernacles. simply means they lived in tents. They lived in tents. He left his established home. I remember I probably shouldn't talk about people that aren't here, but I remember Mrs. Cox years ago, Graydon Cox's wife, saying when he wanted to get his camper and do camping, she said, "I lived that way the first how many years of my life. I don't want to go back there." You know, I mean, you know, you're getting established. You know, that was a fun thing to do. You know, to sleep out of the ground and to do it. You know, but now, you know, you're getting older, established. But no, they lived in tents. And we recognize that when we look at Abraham, that this wasn't just for a week or 2 weeks, you know, while they were getting to where they were going. This was what he had to live. I mean, they were sojourning. They were moving about. But he never personally had the opportunity to be established in that land that God had promised to them. But he went out and he believed God. He obeyed. He obeyed what God said. He believed God. And, you know, I look at that 10th verse that we read there in Hebrews 11. It says, "For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God." Abraham wasn't just looking to the place that God was providing for their family. Abraham was looking beyond that. He was looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. He believed God. And what did we read in James chapter 2, 23? "And the scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God." What does God ask? That's what he asks, isn't it? Just that we believe him. God asks that we believe him. I think of the song, "Faith is just believing what God says he will do." Have you ever sung that chorus? We haven't sung that in a long time. I don't know, but it's kind of stuck in my mind. But that's what it is. Faith is just believing what God says he will do. Abraham believed God. God called him to go out. God called him as a man of 75 years old. And God called him to go out. Yes? Believing faith is saving faith. And that's what God requires of us. He requires just that we believe him. That's what God expects of us. Is that we just believe him. We just believe him, and we believe what he says. It says in John 3:18, "He that believeth on him is not condemned." Isn't that something? "He that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." Do you have that believing faith in Jesus Christ? God's not asking great things of you. He's not asking you to be somebody that you're not. He asks you to put your faith and your confidence in him. He asks you to put your faith and confidence in him. And then let him do what he asked you to do and give you the strength to do what he asked you to do. So Abraham had a believing faith. Something else we see about Abraham, and as we look here, and I think on this Father's Day, I wanted to emphasize some of this as we look in this day, and that is that Abraham had a commanding faith. Abraham had a commanding faith. His faith was not to himself alone. His faith, it wasn't just something that was in his heart. You know, I hear people say, sometimes, well, I have my faith in my heart, but it doesn't show itself. Abraham's faith, it affected his entire life. His faith affected his entire life. You see, following the promises of God, he lived in tents. He lived in a strange land, not having that time, a place that he could really call his own. What he could call his own was what God had promised to him, but it was not that place where he was. Our faith is to be beyond our heart, isn't it? If we have the faith in our heart, it's going to show itself in our daily lives. It's going to be being lived out in our daily life. As Abraham believed God, you know, he didn't just get up and leave that place of his family, but he continued away from that place. You know, after a little bit, it would have been easy after a little bit to say, oh, I think I'm going back home, back to where I was. But no, he continued in his life. He continued following God by faith. His faith affected his entire life. It affected how he lived each day. Living in tents, living in a land as a sojourner, of traveling through lands, not having that place to call his own. Yes, he lived that. He lived that on a daily basis. But his family also were active participants in his faith. Their lives were affected by his faith. They were traveling with him. Their lives were in transition. As they were with him, they saw that active faith that he had. You know that in thinking about that, that might be what was the greatest influence upon his family. Because as we see, they not only were participants in his faith, but then they embraced that faith. And that's the next thing we see, but they had seen him living by faith. Not living in the security of what he had when he left back in Haran, but they saw him living day by day, living out his faith. Do our children see us living out our faith? Do our grandchildren, those of us who are older, see us living out our faith? His family, they were participants in his faith. That's because that's where their lives were wrapped up in. What a sad thing it is when we see those that turn from the faith because that faith wasn't really lived in the home. Our children see, our wives see us at home. Ladies, your husband sees you at home. You see whether is this genuine or is this just hypocrisy? Is this just something that's being talked about? Abraham, his family saw that his life lived on a daily basis, being lived out, and then they became They became active participants in their own faith. They became active participants in their own faith. How do we know that? Verse 11 here in Hebrews 11, it goes on, it says, through faith Sarah also herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age. You know, sometimes we look at Sarah and we think of that one instance, you know, when the angels, when it was announced that they would have, that she was going to have a child, and she laughed, and there was a moment there of unbelief, that I would not have a child. Some of you have experienced those same times of unbelief. You know, you're told something and your first response maybe is not one of belief, but Sarah embraced the faith. And she was a woman of faith. We remember Isaac. In the 20th verse there, it says, by faith Isaac, by faith in the 20th, if we were to go on in Hebrews 11 to the 20th verse, it mentions Isaac. And Isaac was a man of faith. We could go to the instance there up on the mount when his father was told to sacrifice him. And we could look at that instance. But Hebrews 11:20 is sufficient there. Isaac was a man of faith. And by faith, he blessed Jacob and Esau, his sons, concerning things to come. Because he believed that God was going to do what God had said. And he was believing the promises that God had given to his father and also then to him, that God would do what he said. And so he lived by faith. We learn also that as Abraham having a commanding faith, was that he, it says in Genesis 18 and verse 19, and that's the passage where the Lord was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And he says, I will tell Abraham what I'm going to do. And in Genesis 18, 19, it says, for I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. He knew that Abraham was a man that would take charge of his home. He knew that Abraham was one that would take the responsibility that he had, that he would lovingly take charge to see that his household is under that caring command, and that they would follow, that they would do. I think Abraham had that determination, the same that Joshua had. Remember Joshua, in Joshua 24, verse 15, where Joshua had to call the people that were living in unbelief, going against the ways of God. In Joshua 24, 15, Joshua came to the place where he kind of drew out the line and said, okay, it's time to choose. He says, if it doesn't seem right to you to serve the Lord, then you choose this day whom you're going to serve. Whether it's the gods your fathers served on the other side of the flood, the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell, but then he concluded that. He says, but for me and my house, not just for me, He said, for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. The Lord said of Abraham, I know that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the ways of the Lord. Abraham had evidently been continually making those choices, making that demonstration, and continually commanding his household to follow in faith. You know, it was probably asked many times. You think of them traveling, many times being asked, you know, like the kids ask, when are we going to get there? When are we going to get there? The Lord promised. The Lord promised. We're following in our Lord. He will provide in his time, in his way. He will give what he has promised. The Lord promised. He made sure that his household followed the Lord. He made sure while they were under his authority that they would do what was commanded. Is it not true that it's your responsibility to keep your home pure? It's your responsibility to keep your home pure. It's your responsibility to protect the testimony of your own home. It's your household. And men, fathers, you're the head. There's not a father in the home, mother has to take that place as being, of taking that place. But you're accountable. And you can command righteousness. You can't change the heart. You can't change the heart of someone. But when those are under your control and under your authority, you can command in righteousness, or you can allow wickedness to prevail. I believe Abraham was a man, from what we read, a man that had a commanding faith, that he took that responsibility seriously. And he saw that there was righteousness that was lived in his home. He saw that they followed what the Lord had given them to do. How many times do we see and particularly today, even in making contacts for seeking for the Bible Club, sought to have there in Chesterville. I know it was found. Well, let's see what the kids want to do. see if they want to be under that. Sometimes the kids wake up and they say, I don't think I want to go today. Well, if you don't want to go, that's okay. Well, you know, when you want to go, you can go. The importance of one that leads and takes, ones that leads and takes the children. I think I've told you before that my mother often said that she felt a turning point in my own life was the Sunday that my father said, I'm not going to go today. At that time, my father was not a Christian, but he often went. My mother said that I said, followed right up on that, well, I'm not going to go either today. And my dad wisely said, let's go. He didn't just say, you're going. He said, let's go. And he took me. He saw the effect that his leadership was having upon my life. And I don't remember that instance. I must have been fairly young. I'm sure I always wanted to go to church, you know. No, I say that tongue in cheek, because there's always those times that we say, oh, I'm tired. I've been busy. This has been a hard day. You know, I'm just going to stay home. Well, the old devil, he does that in many different ways, doesn't he? Many different ways, you know, or sometimes it might be some little conflict comes up on the way to church, and oh, we're not going today if it's with this kind of thing going on, you know. I mean, the old devil uses all kinds of things to keep us away. Or being in business at home, one of the things that would happen in our home and in the leading of devotions at home was just about the time that would be time for devotions. There'd be a customer come to the door and knock on the door. You know, seems like the old devil would just, I mean, the devil, he does many things to try to keep us, from doing what we know we need to do. Now, in situations like that, then it came, well, you know, we would have to do that after that. When it came to Sundays and church attendance, sometimes we'd have relatives come. Relatives come right at the time. It's time to go to church. And my folks had learned to say, if they were somebody that you would let in your house, you'd say, well, you know, you could come on in, but we're going to church. We'll be back at such and such a time. Or if it was somebody else, they'd just say, well, we're going to church now. You can come back, you know, or whatever. But there was that underlying thing that God was first. Could God say of you today that he said of Abraham, I know that they will command their children. I know that they will lead their household in the ways of the Lord. Mothers, fathers, those of authority, in your area of responsibility, take command to keep the way of the Lord. Take command to keep the way of the Lord. Abraham is such a great example of that. Living in adverse circumstances, and yet that showing that faith and then leading in that. We often quote the scripture, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then these things shall be added unto you. I think of an example I heard years ago from a pastor over in the eastern side of the state, that he had a family that was coming, and they had made a determination that they and their children were going to be in church on Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night. The one girl was in a baseball, wouldn't have been baseball probably, it must have been softball, I would guess, but and was excelling quite well, and they were going to plan for that for Wednesday night, and the girl just said, my folks, you know, we go to church on Wednesday night, and we can't be there, and they said, well, you can't play if you can't be on the team, if you can't be there on that, I'd love to be on the team. We'd love to do it, but you know, the Lord is going to be first. And you know, that was a situation that worked out different than it many times worked out, but in that situation they changed the day of the thing on their account. We recognize that doesn't always happen. Some of you have tried to get to work where you didn't work on, they say, well, if you don't work Sunday, we're not hiring you. I mean, you know, and sometimes you just have to You got to make a choice, don't you? You got to make a choice. The point is, always put the Lord first. You know, I can't tell you what is always best and what you need to do in your life in particular circumstances, but you always need to have that goal. Lord, you are first. You are first, Lord. And it doesn't matter then. And that makes the decision so much easier when you come to decisions in life. If it means that you got to put the Lord in second place, then you make the choice to serve the Lord. And I believe that's what we see with Abraham. He had a commanding faith. And then I want you to see in these passages that he had a living and a blessed faith. He believed the promises, though he was still living in tents. It says, by faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. He was living with a blessed faith because he had been promised that he would be blessed. He had been promised, and he lived that. He lived that on a daily basis. You come to Genesis chapter 25. When you come to Genesis chapter 25, I mean, this. Abraham, you know, God gave Abraham a long life. It says that these are the days of the years of Abraham's life, which he lived 75 years, 175 years when he died. God gave him those many years. God gave him years above others, years of blessing, years of his looking for that city that has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. But he lived in a right relationship with God. And that's why I like that James 3:23 passage. It says, he believed God, it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. What is it like to be the friend of God? First of all, we have to have righteousness, don't we? It says, righteousness. Nothing can compare with a righteous standing before God. There's nothing that compare than our being able to stand without sin before God. And that only happens when he gives us the righteousness of Jesus Christ. It was imputed. That means it was put upon him. It wasn't his own righteousness. It was a righteousness. God declared him righteous because he believed him. 2 Corinthians 5:21, he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. What a blessing it is to be able to live, have a living faith, to be having that right relationship with God. We've been declared righteous. And it says there, he was a friend of God. A friend of God. The Lord was able to say about him there in Genesis, I know him. I know what he's going to do. He had shown his living out his faith in his life. And so the Lord says, shall I hide from him what I'm going to do to Sodom and Gomorrah? No, God treated Abraham as a friend. That's hard to comprehend for us. We have our mighty God, our Creator, our holy God. Men live in fear of God, in fear of damnation, in fear of of the judgment of God, but when we have a right relationship with Him, when we have a right relationship with Him, say, God is even my friend, that I am His friend, that He would call me a friend. Yes, He was called the friend of God. What a blessing. Abraham was able to have that living, blessed faith. Blessed by God. God cared for him. God watched over him. And God brought those promises. God brought those promises, even as we read there in Hebrews 11. He brought those promises to Abraham's heirs. His seed became as the sand of the sea, innumerable, in the sense that they were beyond able to number. God has His promises that are still even yet to be fulfilled in the days to come. Abraham was a man of faith. He had a believing faith. He had a commanding faith. He had a living, blessed faith. May we, and today on Father's Day, we say, may we men be that kind of fathers. May we men be that kind of fathers. Men with a pure, simple, believing faith. Not some superhuman type of thing, but just what God says I'm going to do. I'm going to believe God. And whatever God says, I'm going to do. That's pretty simple, isn't it? But it takes faith in God to live that out. Because we got to believe that He is, and He's the rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Oh, that we would be men with a loving, commanding of our homes, taking the God-given responsibilities and fulfilling it to the best of our abilities. Take the God-given responsibilities that you have, fulfill them to the best of your ability. Just believing God, doing what the Lord says, asking the Lord for His help and strength and carrying those out in your homes. And men living in the will of God, living out your faith, bringing your sin before the Lord and confessing it and going on and living. Don't harbor sin in your life, but care. You know, Abraham was not without sin. You follow the life of Abraham. There were some problems there along the way with Abraham. But there were things that were dealt with. And he went on living by faith. As Christians today, we confess our sin. We bring it to the Lord. And isn't it a blessing if the Lord forgives us? The Lord forgives us and He cleanses us and we can go on in fellowship with our God. How sad it is when there's not forgiveness and you cannot have a restored fellowship. But our God is a God that forgives, and we can restore fellowship and we can go on. We need to be men that live as such that God could call us His friend. Wow. Could you be called a friend of God? Particularly to men today, we say, oh, may we be men with a faith like Abraham. And certainly what we're seeing here this morning is not only for men. God desires these characteristics, these things of which where He has put each of us in some areas of responsibility, that we carry it out by faith, that we be men, women, young people, and children of faith, following our Lord and our God. Shall we pray? Thank you, Lord, for your word today. Thank you, Lord, for the home. Thank you, Lord, for fathers. Thank you, Lord, for fathers who take their responsibilities. And by faith, men that believe you, and then by faith, live that faith. Oh, Lord, give us such homes. Give us such families. Give us such individuals of faith in the church today. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen.